The Battle of Fornost was one of the most pivotal moments in the Third Age of Middle-earth, central to which was Glorfindel's prophecy about the Witch King's fate. But so much more happened there that often gets overshadowed. Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into The Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. The Battle of Fornost is one of the most pivotal moments in the entire Third Age, perhaps the most pivotal moment until the end of the age. It's best remembered by most for a simple word of prophecy or foreknowledge by Glorfindel about the fate of the Witch King, but there is so much more going on. First, the context. After the War of the Last Alliance of Elves and Men, the fall of Sauron and the loss of the One Ring at the end of the Second Age, the two great successor kingdoms of Numenor, Arnor and Gondor, flourished and grew for several centuries. They still knew much of the ancient magical technology of the island continent, and they built marvels like the Argonath, Orthanc and Minas Tirith. But after some time, in the north, a new power grew, Angmar. At its head was the Witch King of Angmar, so named for his sorcery and majesty and clearly evil intent. As a side point, it seems likely that at the time, most people had no idea that this was one of the Nazgul. Probably the wise figured it out after a bit, but to most people this was just a new evil to combat. Anyway, Angmar was an area of Middle-earth to the north of the Misty Mountains, and over a period of time, starting around the year 1300 of the Third Age, it grew in power and started waging war against the northern kingdom of Arnor on many fronts. And when I say on many fronts, I don't just mean in many places. They, or the Witch King, incited discontent and division, attacked from time to time, and can even probably be blamed for a great plague wreaking its havoc through the population. The slow burn result was that by the year 1974 of the Third Age, so after nearly 700 years of opposition, Arnor had been reduced to just one of its previous three sub-kingdoms, Arthedain. The Witch King then attacked that too. It was a crushing victory for him, and he claimed the capital city of Fornost Erain. King Arvedwy fled and subsequently died in the frozen waters off Lossoth to the far north, along with two Palantiri, incidentally. Those few who survived found shelter in Lindon under the care of Círdan. Círdan is low-key a real hero here and elsewhere, solid and unchangeably good, but the wider picture was that it felt like evil had triumphed in the north. However, before he had died, King Arvedwy had sent a last desperate letter to Gondor, Arnor's sister kingdom, begging for help. And 2 years after that letter had been sent, help arrived. It was obviously way too late to save the kingdom, but perhaps it could still drive evil from the north. Prince Eärnur arrived in Lindon with a navy and an army, ready for battle. Círdan pulled together his own forces, plus whatever remained of the men of Arnor, and even, if you can believe the Shire records, some hobbit archers out of the newly formed Shire. Círdan also sent word to Rivendell, seeking help to support a last push against the Witch King. The hastily assembled coalition marched northeast with hope in their hearts. The Witch King responded immediately. He probably would have been better advised to dig in and face his attackers from behind the strong walls of Fornost, but his pride got in the way, and he sent his army out to meet the enemy in the field. The allies had the better of that battle, and Angmar's forces retreated back towards Fornost, where they were met by the allies' cavalry, who had executed a cunning move around the hills of Evandim, catching their opponents by surprise and cutting off any withdrawal. The retreat, we're told, turned into a rout, and the Witch King's forces abandoned the idea of going to Fornost and instead headed back towards their home of Angmar. Most were on foot, so it came as no surprise that Prince Eärnur's cavalry caught them. But then arrived also the promised force from Rivendell, led by Glorfindel, completing the pincer movement. Glorfindel was quite something, by the way, shining bright in the spiritual realm. I did a whole other video on him, but suffice it to say that the Witch King feared him in a way he seemed to fear no other opponent in that part of Middle-earth then. Angmar's forces were being wiped out when the Witch King himself finally appeared. As you might expect, he went on the attack. A great spell of fear emanated from him, and everyone fled from his presence. He headed straight to the allies' command unit. If he could kill them, victory for his forces might still be possible. He charged at Prince Eanur, who resisted the spell of fear, but his horse didn't, and that went galloping away with fear, carrying Eanur with him. The Witch King laughed. Enter Glorfindel. His very presence made the Witch King pause, mid-laugh, and flee. I told you that Glorfindel was impressive. That pause allowed Eanur to regain control of his horse and get back into the action. He wanted to chase after the Witch King, but Glorfindel stopped him, saying, "Do not pursue him. He will not return to this land. Far off yet is his doom, and not by the hand of man will he fall." Which obviously led to Eowyn, Merry, and the Sword or Dagger of Western Esse centuries later. I covered that in another video, if you're interested in the details there. But the battle was over. Evil had been vanquished, but what then? Well, first the good news. The Kingdom of Angmar had lost its king, and pretty much all of its army. Evil still proliferated there, but it was never directed or organised to the same degree again. Those lands became wild lands, with the occasional orc band or troll or whatever troubling it, but not whole armies. The bad news was that the Kingdom of Arnor was also effectively wiped out. There was no realistic hope now of recovering it. What remained was a handful of loyalists who had somehow survived all the carnage. They reformed themselves into the Dunedain Rangers and committed themselves to patrolling and protecting that part of the world until their king returned to power. Because they still had a king, albeit without a kingdom. That king, Arranarth, restyled himself Chieftain of the Dunedain. Aragorn was his many times descendant. The area that the Dunedain protected, with their protection services often uncalled for and unrecognised by the locals, covered the area outside what we now know as the Shire and Breeland. It used to be a part of Arnor. The rangers kept the various small-scale incursions of orcs, trolls and wolves to a minimum, so those parts of the world could live in relative peace. Talking of which, we should mention the hobbits, who apparently were there in that battle. They had been largely self-governing already in the Shire, but recognised the authority of the king and provided soldiers for his army when needed. But now there was no king, so the Shire ruled itself. It remained that rural idyll, untouched by outside influences. Rivendell, incidentally, also gained in significance because of all this. The symbols of Arnorian sovereignty, the Sceptre of Annúminas, the Ring of Barahir and the Shards of Narsil were housed there, and the heirs of the kingdom, the chieftains of the Dúnedain, were fostered there. With impressively powerful people like Elrond and Glorfindel based there, it became the de facto convening point for the free peoples of Middle-earth, hosting the White Council meetings, for example. So that's the North, and already we see the Battle of Fornost heralding the end of two massive kingdoms, the establishment of the Rangers and the geopolitical situation that would last for the next millennium, the Shire and Breeland living in splendid isolation between the Grey Havens to the west and Rivendell to the east, the Rangers patrolling the land in between. Let's now look to the south, because the impact there was no less dramatic. The Witch King fled all the way down to Mordor, where he swiftly took control and summoned the other Nazgûl to him. Gondor was at that time not exactly weak, but certainly a shadow of their former selves, allowing the forces of evil to repopulate Mordor. Within a few years, the Witch King felt strong enough there to besiege and then take Minas Ithil, turning it into Minas Morgul, the Tower of Black Magic. The symbolic significance of this should not go unstated. That was built by and for the legend that was Isildur, Sauron's bane, as a home and a place where he could keep a wary eye on Mordor for any signs of evil returning. The Nazgûl capturing it was huge. Gondor had abandoned their centuries-old task of watching over Mordor and couldn't even defend the castle of their founder. Then came the challenge of a duel against Prince, now King, Eanur. Remember, the Witch King had charged at Eanur up in Fornost and Eanur's horse had fled. The Witch King laughed. It was probably rather bruising for Eanur's ego. He knew that he had been willing to fight the Witch King, but all his men saw his horse turn and flee with him on it, while the Witch King laughed at him. Then, when he had got back control of his horse, Glorfindel had stopped him giving chase. That clearly nagged at him, and now the Witch King challenged him to a fight, his chance to show that he wasn't afraid. The terms were not good. Come to Minas Morgul, rather than some neutral venue, and Eanur resisted it. But then the Witch King tried again, and Eärnor couldn't resist. He headed off with a small honour guard, and was never seen again. Gondor was without a king, and had no obvious heir, so the steward at the time took over until such time as the king should return. Gondor's whole ruling structure and family changed. There would obviously be some pretty big geopolitical changes in the years between the Battle of Fornost and the start of the Lord of the Rings, the establishment of Rohan, Durin's Bane, Smaug, and so on, but nothing came close to the changes then. The end of one kingdom in the north, the establishment of the Dunedain Rangers, Angmar defeated, the end of the monarchy in Gondor, and the establishment of the geopolitical landscape for the next millennium. Yes, and Glorfindel's prophecy. The Battle of Fornost is one of the most underrated seismic events in Middle-earth history. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.